George Washington, which if you all remember from your days back in school, was our first president of the United States, he once questioned, what is most important in this grand experiment, the United States? And he answered his question, he said, not the election of the first president, but the election of its second president. The peaceful transition of power is what will separate this country from every other country in the world. Throughout the history of the world, governments, whether they be kings, autocrats, or emperors, have rarely been replaced, except by death and inherited succession, without bloodshed or war. Every time a new power tries to take over, every time a new power rises up, there always seems to be a resulting war and resulting death. And then along came this idea of the United States of America, this idea of democracy. George Washington, as you might remember, was the commander of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War, and so he was the natural selection to be our first president. He had led the army, he had led the revolution, and so he's going to be the new president. But what happens next would define us. Could there truly be this transition, this peaceful transition of power? Let's do a quick check. Second president of the United States was Adams, very good. Some of you paying attention. John Adams. It's interesting, though. I looked it up this week. John Adams was actually George Washington's vice president. And so when George Washington was no longer president, his vice president took over. Our third president was Thomas Jefferson, who happened to be Adams' vice president. If you look at the history of our presidents, there almost seems to be this plan of succession. If you're my vice president, you get to be the next president. Your vice president will be next. Until our fourth president comes along, who was? No, Madison. You failed that test, Leah. James Madison, he was never a vice president. And there was still this peaceful transition of power. This idea, this peaceful transition of power was revolutionary back at the founding of our nation, and it's still important today. Almost 3 years ago, then President Obama stood before the nation in a news conference. And he shared about the prior evening's late night conversation with the newly elected, new president-elect Trump. And in that news conference, he went on to share about all of the differences they have, how they don't agree on pretty much anything, he said. But then he went on to share that a few years earlier, he and Bush agreed about nothing. And yet there was this peaceful transition from President Bush to President Obama. And he said, I plan for the same thing, to transition from myself to the newly elected President Trump. And his statement he made was the peaceful transition of power is one of the hallmarks of our democracy. From our first president to our second to last president recently, this idea has been mentioned all throughout our history. So why are we talking about this? Well, as we turn the page in our study of 1 Samuel, as we turn to chapter 12 today, I think we see this type of transition. We are having a transition of power, a transition of leadership. Samuel has been the prophet and the leader of the nation of Israel his entire life, or almost his entire life. But in the recent months, the nation has asked for a new style of government. They said, we no longer want God as our king. We no longer want this idea of theocracy. We want a monarchy. We want to have a king like everyone else. And so over the last few chapters, we have seen three separate announcements of this king. If you've been with us, you should sound familiar, but just to recap, we first saw this private anointing whereby God hand-selected the new king. He had Samuel anoint Saul with oil and said, you will be the new king. God has selected you. We saw a public election of sorts whereby they cast lots and God announces the new king to the nation. The whole nation gathers and one by one they narrow it down to Saul, you are the new king. And then last week, we saw a religious coronation, if you will, where the nation gathers and they finally say, Saul, you are our king. And it would appear at this final gathering, at this final declaration, as they're wrapping up, finally proclaiming, we have a king, we've changed our form of government, Samuel steps forward to speak. He's been leading the nation almost his entire life. He has been the point person, the leader, the focal point. This is not just a major transition for the nation, but it's a personal transition for him as well. To be clear, we need to understand he is still going to be a prophet for God. He's not leaving the position of prophet. He will continue to speak for God, and we will see him over the next several chapters still showing up and speaking on God's behalf, but he is no longer the main figure of leadership. He's no longer the person they're going to be looking to lead them. And so he gives them one last speech. He gives them these final words in the transition of power. And so this is the speech, this is the process we want to look at this morning, and it's in 1 Samuel 12, and the whole chapter is Samuel's final words to the nation as their leader as he transitions the power. And so verse 1, he says, Samuel says to all of Israel, I have listened to everything you have said to me, and I have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed, the new king, is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness, they said. As Samuel is handing the leadership baton to King Saul, as he's making this transition, he wants to leave with a clear conscience. His forerunners did not handle their roles well. His forerunners took advantage of the people. We've already looked at several weeks ago, Eli, the high priest, and his sons were taking advantage of the people through the sacrificial system. They were trying to glean and take as much as they could from the sacrifices. Even Samuel's own sons, when he made them the kind of the vice leaders of the nation, they were trying to use their roles for personal gain. And so Samuel comes before the nation in this final moment. He says, here I stand. I'm right here in front of you. What do you have to say to me? If you have any grievances against me, say it now. And we see Samuel's integrity as a leader. He has been honorable and he has been good. And as he steps out of his role as judge or as leader, he wants a smooth transition. He says, may nothing be held against me. I have acted appropriately. Now, as I transition out, here is your new king. Here's this next chapter for our nation. But as he stands before them, giving them an opportunity to speak up, he also wants to take the opportunity to speak. And he's going to call them to stand before God for a moment. He takes this opportunity to give them one last exhortation as their exiting leader. Verse 6, then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your ancestors up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I'm going to confront you with the evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors. If you read what Samuel says here, I suspect you might get the picture of a parent lecturing their child. He says, stand here because I'm going to confront you. Stand here because I have something to say to you. How many of us as parents have ever said that to our children? You're going to stand here and you're going to listen to what I have to say. But Samuel has a lecture, he has a talk, and it's a lecture they need to hear. They need this reminder. Essentially, I think Samuel is saying, even as you're celebrating today, even as you're making this transition today, there are some things you need to remember. Take a moment and simply be still. In all the excitement and all the celebration of having a new king, take a moment to stand still and reflect. Reflect on who you are and who your God is. He continues in verse 8. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your ancestors out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, we have sinned, we have forsaken the Lord, and served the Baals and the Asheroths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemy, and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, who's Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel. And he delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around you, so that you lived in safety. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, no, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. Now here is the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. He goes into this speech. He says, now stand still. I have something I need to say to you. And he gives them a flashback. He gives them a recap of their history. One of the things I like least about watching sitcoms or any television show for that matter, is a flashback episode. There are two ways to do a flashback episode. A few years ago, we had very limited cable channels, and so we found ourselves watching limited shows, and they taught me something about flashback episodes. How many of you have ever watched the show Everyone Loves Raymond? It's an old show. It's one of those shows that was on our limited cable, and so we watched it several times, and they would do flashback episodes. But what really bothered me is they would take scenes from old episodes that have already aired, I've already seen them, and they would take these clips and splice them together into a, quote, new episode. It was a cheap way, I think, to add more episodes to a season. It added nothing new. There's no new content given to the show. And I always question, why am I even watching this? I can go back and watch the original episodes. This is a flashback of the history of the show, but to no purpose. Another show that did this, kind of in a different model, again, limited cable options a few years ago, Golden Girls. How many of you ever watched Golden Girls? They would do flashback episodes, but they did it very differently. Because when they all sit at the kitchen table and reflect, they were showing clips of scenes from events that were not in other episodes. They would, we're remembering years ago we did this, and they would take these mini stories and weave them together, and they would actually add to the storyline. So Samuel stands up before the people and he says, I have something to say to you. And he starts giving them a flashback episode. He said, do you remember this, 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 and this? He's essentially sharing their history, but he's adding nothing new. There's nothing he's saying that's new or different. In fact, he's kind of picking out some very remote events. And he's jumping around quite quickly. He starts with Jacob, your forefather, and he came to Egypt, and you were in slavery. And then Moses and Aaron come onto the scene, and then he jumps to, and then you came to this place. Moses and Aaron lead you out of Egypt, and now you're in the promised land. We skip the entire Exodus. We skip the entire 40 years wandering in the desert. You're now in this place, and he jumps into the history of the judges. He skips Joshua and Jericho and all the amazing stories of God acting through the conquering of the land. He goes, now you're in this place with the judges, and here are a few of them, and he picks some of the more obscure ones at times. He says, but your history is this. We have sinned, and God allowed enemies to rise up against us. And then we turn back to God, and God sent redeemers to save us. And then Samuel adds the most recent history. When a new enemy rose up, Nahash of the Ammonites, you asked for a king, and here we find ourselves today. On the surface, you go, Samuel, you're rehashing our history in a flashback, but you're not even highlighting the good stuff. You're not highlighting the great stories, the most exciting stories. Yet your flashback has meaning. So, well, why are you telling us this? Samuel says, stand here and listen. I have something you need to hear. Stand here and remember how you came to this place today. How did you come to this point in your life where you now are getting a king? You need to remember all the times that you sinned. And what happened because of that? You need to remember the times you turned to God and what happened when that happened. Remember the great acts of God in your past. He says to the nation, you know your history, but stand here and reflect. Stand here and remember how you came to the place you are today. Many of us are good at looking forward. Many of us are good at kind of leaving the past in the past and moving forward, especially when life is exciting. When life is good and things are happening, we want to move forward. Look what's about to happen. Look at these good things, and we go forward and forward and forward. And yet, there are important lessons to be learned in the past. For Israel, they're getting a new king. This is exciting. And yet, the new king cannot be a deterrent to following God. Samuel says, remember how you turned away from God and what happened. Remember how God saved you and how God loves you. Don't let the newness of this moment, the newness of having a king, overshadow your history. For many of us, we can neglect our past. We forget or neglect the stories of what God has done because we're so forward driven. We set our eyes on where we're going and we don't look back. But then there are others among us who kind of do the exact opposite. Sometimes we can get so weighed down by our past, it's hard to move forward. Sometimes we get so stuck at what has happened or what we've done that we can't steer into the future. And Samuel comes to Israel and says, stand still and remember. Stand still and reflect on your past. And I think this echoes to us today. Stand still and reflect. Stand still and remember. Take time to know your own history so you can move forward. Remember what God has done in your past so you know what to expect in your future. Within the church culture, we do this quite well at times. We share these things called testimonies. We share these stories of what God has done. For many of us, it's how we've come to faith. And these stories are great opportunities to stand still and remember. And some of us, some of the most exciting of the stories are those of us who have these big stories of this is what I was like then, and this is where I am now. This is where God found me and how God changed me, and it's this big story. They usually kind of fall on, I was into drugs, or I was in jail, I was living this crazy sinful life, and then God found me, and God impacted my life, and look how I've changed. And there are these big stories. And we love to hear these stories because we go, wow, look at these amazingly huge things God has done in these people's lives. Even last week, if you were with us, Travis Brubaker, one of our missionaries with YWAM, was here, and he was sharing some of the big stories of what God has done recently during his ministry in Iraq. And they were praying for people, and people were receiving healing, instantaneous healing. And it was exciting to listen. That's a big story. And it's why we need to stand still and remember at times. Remember the big things that God has done in individual lives and in ministry. But some of us don't have these type of big stories. Some of us, myself included, can feel at times like we're lesser Christians because we don't have a big story. Because my story of coming to faith is kind of boring. It's very mild. I don't think Samuel's point, however, is to look at big events, but rather to simply know your history. Whether it's big or seemingly small, do you know your history? Do you know how you came to this place today? The truth is, we all have the same story if we know Jesus. Our stories are all the same. Our stories all are, I was lost, but now I'm found. The details might vary a little bit. The details might change from person to person, but the bottom line of all of our stories is, I was lost, and now I'm found. Some days we need to pause and remember how we came to this place in our lives. Wherever we find ourselves, it was by God's hand. Both our choices towards God, or our choices away from God, he has brought us to this place. And so Samuel says to the nation, stand still and remember how you got here. But he doesn't just want Israel, or us, to only look back and remember. He continues in verse 14. If you fear the Lord and you serve and obey him, and you do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you, as it was against your ancestors. Now then, stand still. Stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called on the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. Once again, Samuel calls the nation to stand still. But this time, he says, stand still and see something. See something new that is about to happen. Not only do they need to remember their past, but they need to look to their future. While they now have a king, they can't leave God behind. He is still ultimately in control. And so to prove God's control and to prove their mistake in asking to trade God for a king, Samuel says, God is going to send a thunderstorm. And let's be honest, that's kind of a letdown in the grand scheme of signs from God. And you go, God's going to do something to get your attention, so God's going to send a thunderstorm. And you go, but that happens all the time. Well, What we may miss in our culture, we don't understand fully. Samuel says, is it not the wheat harvest? And I think, wonderful, you're making bread. The wheat harvest is the dry season. It never rains during the wheat harvest. They're able to collect the wheat, bring it in without having to worry about it getting wet, it getting soggy, it getting moldy. It never, ever rains in the wheat harvest. And Samuel says, is it not now the wheat harvest? It never rains. But to prove to you that God is with you now, and God is with you in the future, this sunny day you see is about to change. And within minutes, it starts to rain. In the grand scope of Scripture, this is a relatively small sign, a thunderstorm. But it's a big reminder. As you stand and you reflect, as you look forward, don't forget that God is also there. He's not only in our past getting us to the present, he's in our future, and he will walk with us. And so the people respond to Samuel's transition speech, and once again they said, we want to turn to God. We want to walk with God in faith. And he gives them one last encouragement. Chapter 12, verse 24, he says, be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things God has done for you. Three different times in this very short speech, Samuel calls someone to simply stand still. Pause in the busyness of your life and reflect. To consider the great things that God has done for you. To even consider what things you have done, both good and bad, towards God. And this morning, I feel like the same encouragement, the same exhortation or challenge could be made to us. In one way or another, we all need to stand still and reflect. To remember the great things that God has done or will do, or even the things that we have done. Some of us need to stand still and remember our past, to remember the things that God has done in our lives, to remember that we were lost, but now we are found in Christ, that God has brought about this change in our lives. We need to remember the moments that he stepped into work and how he has brought us to our present. Some of us, though, are in a season where the future seems bleak at best. Things are cloudy, life is just a struggle every moment. And we need to stand still and see. To stand still and wait in expectation, to know that God is both in our present and in our future. And whether with a small thing or a mighty act, God will be there for us. But there's also a third group of us today who perhaps don't need to look back or look forward. We may simply need to stand still and let God speak. This is how Samuel started. He said, here I stand. He says this to the people of Israel. Here I stand. Do you have anything you need to say to me? And I think we need to flip that for ourselves and say, God, here I stand. Is there anything you need to say to me, God? God, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not going to think about the past. I'm not going to think about the future. God, here I stand. What do you need to say? What am I not listening to? What am I not hearing? What am I not doing, God? What do you have to say to me? Israel served a God who did great things in their past, in their present, and in their future. And in all the excitement of receiving a new king, they needed a reminder. To remember to stand still, to reflect, to respond, to live in expectation. This morning, we likewise serve a great God who has done and will do great things in our lives. But oftentimes, we don't pause to remember. We very rarely pause to reflect. Sometimes, we just keep running 1,000 miles a minute. And so we today need to pause to stand still. Maybe today you need to do that. To come before God and basically ask one of three, if not all three, questions. To say, God, would you remind me of what you have done? How did I come to this place today? God, would you show me your presence now and in the days ahead? Remind me that you're with me in my future. God, speak to me in the areas of my life that I might be missing you. God, here I stand simply waiting to hear you speak. It all starts with standing still. It all starts with looking at the great things of our God. And so this morning, I want to do this. We're going to pray. We're going to sing about great things. We have a song called Great Things. It fits well. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. And then we're going to close this morning standing or sitting still. And so will you join me in prayer this morning? God, the nation of Israel gathered in celebration. It was an exciting moment as Saul, their first king, stood before them. It was an exciting moment of the transition of power, moving from a theocracy with Samuel as your prophet and mouthpiece to a king like everyone else. And they were so excited. And yet in that moment of excitement, in that moment of transition, the word that you gave Samuel was to be still. And God, we likewise find ourselves in the midst of our lives running 1,000 miles a minute, getting exciting, getting depressed, getting apprehensive or overwhelmed, but just running, running, running. And your words to the nation of Israel echo in our hearts today, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I have brought you to this place, that I was active in your past. Be still and know that I am active in your future. Be still and simply let me speak. So God, this morning, as we sing about your great works in our lives and in the world, would you draw us to simply be still before you and allow you to speak to us? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together. Worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awakened alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Faithful through every storm, you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things, and God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave.
you free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. You dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great
things. Hero of heaven.
Oh hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. You dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things.
Standing still is not easy.
Preaching to the choir.
It's awkward. It makes us chuckle in the silence. We tend to rush the silent moments. But at the same time, we need these moments. Samuel says to the nation, stand still. Stand still and remember. Stand still and see. Stand still and just be silent before God. And so today we want to do this. We want to leave this place in silence, to make space for those of us who need to stand still. So we've done this in the past in different ways, but usually we like to end and we start talking and we start moving. But today we want to end in silence. For those of you who are ready to fellowship, you can go out in the lobby and spend time connecting. That's wonderful. But this space today is to stand still and reflect. To stand still and let God speak. And you can sit if you want. You don't have to stand still, but be still. If you need someone to pray with you this morning, as always, our prayer corner will be open and someone will be there to pray with you. But wherever you are in your life today, we want to take a moment, a few moments, several minutes, to stand still before our God and King. Say, God, I know you've been in my past. I know you're in my future. Even God, what do you just have to say to me in this moment today? So I invite you this morning to stand still as long as God calls you to. And we'll see you next week.